You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who can still look intimidating in leg warmers, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, kicking off the second act of tonight's show on a beautiful Monday here in downtown Green Bay. Christmas is right around the corner. What more could you ask for, folks? We're talking about the things in life that make us happy. Movies and TV, comedy, music. And with my current guest, Sean Connolly, cross-country skiing, winter sports, summer sports. We'll be back to Sean in just a moment. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Laura Enright will be here. She is a Chicago-based author who does great. She writes about vampires and the mob, Con. What
I
about
mean, that's,
I mean,
that's
come
pretty
on.
Cool.
Two
that,
subjects.
That's really cool.
I think it's great. And she's working on a new story about a guy who was a loan shark, and she's working with him on the book. I can't wait to talk to her about that. And then we're going to talk some theater in Act 3 with Teresa Apertola, who will be here in the studio as well, probably sitting in the same seat that Sean is sitting in right now.
I'll keep it warm for you.
Okay. Our question of the night, is Rob Reiner based? We talked about the horrible death of Rob Reiner yesterday. We got news that he and his wife had been killed, most likely by their son, which is just a horrible tragedy. We're trying to spin it positively and talk about Rob Reiner's legacy and some of the things that he left behind, and certainly earned his time here on Earth, contributing to things that make us very happy, these great movies. So let us know what your favorite Rob Reiner film is, and I will read your text on the radio. We also talked a little, Conrad, sort of, we really didn't get into too much stuff, but you were very bummed out about Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I still am very sad.
So what does this do? You know, are they sure it's the ACL? Has that been confirmed?
It was confirmed okay. Today.
All right. That is a bummer for Packers. I'm sorry about that, Packer fans. And I make no bones about the fact that I'm a Bears fan, but you don't want to, you want, if you be like Aaron Rodgers, I was so mad when he left because we never got a chance to beat Aaron Rodgers. Well, we beat him, but not with any kind of consistency ever. So it's horrible when you have a sports injury like this that alters a season for a team, and you never wish anything like that on anybody. But, you know, Packer fans, I feel for you. That really does suck. And our current guest, Sean, is a big Packer fan as well.
Yeah, born and raised Packer fan. And, you know, actually when they won their last Super Bowl, I was living in New York City with a buddy of mine. And we said, hey, if the Packers win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season, we're like, well, let's get tattoos. Ha, ha, ha. It's not going to happen. Crap, we did. We won. So we had to get tattoos.
So what'd you get?
It's the state of Wisconsin with a big G in the middle of it. And when I showed my buddy, he's like, hey, do you mind if I get that tattoo as well? So shout out to another Jake friend of mine. And we got a twofer.
Oh, sweet.
The tattoo artist gave us a twofer.
And you still have it.
I haven't gotten the laser removed. No, but I have too many layers on to because
nice.
I skied over here.
I believe
But yeah,
it.
So it's under there. Next time, it'll be a more exciting show for the live stream.
All right, there you go. We'll do the show. If you come in the summer, we don't have to have so many clothes on, but I know it you is, love it, winter, and I didn't mean to insinuate.
It is nightlight, you know, after all. I mean, I feel like, what kind of show is this?
That's right. All right. So recap for us, Sean, if you would,
yes.
This great event coming up February 18th through the 22nd. It's the American Birkebeiner Cross-Country Ski Marathon here in Wisconsin from Cable to Hayward.
Correct. Cable to Hayward. We finish right down on Main Street. We construct what's called International Bridge. It's a temporary bridge that goes over the highway there, Highway 63. It's covered in snow. You ski literally the last leg of the race. You ski across Lake Hayward, which is adjacent to downtown. It's across the frozen lake. Up over this bridge, and then you ski down into Main Street with thousands of screaming fans all cheering for you and cowbells going off.
Wow.
And people handing out shot skis. It's just, you know, here's the thing. Even if you're not an outdoor skier like yourself, even if you're not an outdoorsy person, winter isn't your thing, come on up to Hayward, Wisconsin on February 21st this year. Have a beer on Main Street. It's like tailgating at a Packer game. You're going to walk around and people are having fun. And don't tell me you don't catch a little bit of what's called Berkey fever. It's called Berkey fever up there, and it is this thing that people catch that they're just like, man, this is cool. I just want to be around this because it's just a celebration of winter, and it's so much fun. So even if you're not into the active sports style life, I highly suggest people try it. It's a great way to get through the long winter we have here. But if you're not, coming up and have a beer down on Main Street and catch a little Berkey fever. It's super fun. It's a beautiful time up in the North Woods. And it's one of those things that, again, I kind of mentioned earlier, Wisconsin has so many of these great things, from Summerfest to car shows to amazing things all seasons. You know, this is one of those winter things I feel like every Wisconsinite, Midwesterner, really should check off their list.
Is there winter weather that's too cold even for you? Like you mentioned this past weekend, you and your wife, it was like zero or below zero.
Yeah, yeah.
When do you, an avid outdoor winter sportsman, go, nope, thanks anyway?
Yeah, I mean, there is a point where, like, you know, literally it's just not safe. It's not good for your lungs. Like, yeah. If you're at a below zero and you're breathing in that cold air, that's why most winter athletes you'll always see have this buff, have something to cover up their nose and mouth. Okay. But yeah, once you kind of get to that like really sub-zero temperatures, I mean, you don't want to be out there for more than a half hour, an hour. And really, you want to, you're active. The second you're not active, now you're sweaty, now you're wet, now it's brutal.
That's worse.
So you just got to have the right procedure set up so you can make sure you're changing or you're getting in your car right away or you're starting your car when you're still a mile out so it's warmed up by the time you get there, right, that kind of right. thing. So you just got to prepare a little bit, that's all.
Tell us about, you've got this right around the corner, the Geechee game?
Geechee Gammy Games. Yeah, so that's a Northwoods tradition for the Berkey, and that's actually a pretty fun event that's coming up this weekend, and that's actually a junior ski competition. So if you're listening out there and maybe your kids are interested in Nordic skiing, I know in the Green Bay area, there's Ashwaubenon High School has a great Nordic ski team, Bay Nordic around here. There's a lot of great Nordic ski teams all over the state, but it's called a junior qualifying race. So it's kids from Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, all coming out to the Hayward in Cable area. They're going to be skiing up in Cable. So yeah, 350 athletes, some athletes maybe even joining us from Canada. But it was actually started back in 1975. So this was actually a precursor to the World Cup. So it was people who wanted to like get better to get to the World Cup, they'd come ski at this competition. So Geechee Gammy Games is a really fun one. It's a youth ski competition. So that one's more for like if you're part of a team. So you can't really like sign up today. It's one of those you kind of got to be a part of a team and already be registered for it. But after that, now when January hits, we have a whole series of things that you can go on Berkey.com and register right now. First open weekend is called Shred to She Fat Bike. It's our women's fat bike camp. So we have a lot of great camps that are, you know, like some of these sports for years, actually for the first few years of the Berkey in 1973. It started in 1973, and for the first few years, it was a men's only race. The women who were racing it were signing up as men and doing it as men. So
there were just as many heavy women out there as there were men.
Yeah, I wanted to do it's a fat,
you
fat
said
bike with
fat
tires.
Bike camp.
Yeah.
I've heard of fat camp.
Never heard of it. It's
what
a
is
fat bike.
Biking?
So fat biking is just like big, thick tires. They're tires that are made for snow.
Yeah, okay.
And actually, you know, like 20 years ago, fat biking was like mountain bike tires, but now there are tires that are like double the size of mountain bike tires and called fat bikes. And that's what it's really popular. Actually, this area of Wisconsin is actually one of the most popular places in the world for fat biking because you can go fat biking on trails with snow. So that's a great camp to come out of if women want to train more and get better at that. The following weekend is a classic only ski race. It's called Sealy Hills Classic. That's January 10th. Great little race to kind of pre-qualify for the Berkey. The weekend after that is a women's ski camp. That's a really cool camp that we actually have a New York Times bestselling author called Elise Kopecky. She's coming up and she's going to do some cooking classes and skiing classes. It's going to be a really great weekend for women who want to get better at the sport, want to be around a great encouraging, active community of women. And then the following weekend is what's called Berkey Tour. That's just a fun day where the whole course is open. People can ski the whole entire Berkey Tour, the whole entire course, and just kind of get to know the Berkey Trail. And then once February hits, then we're really prepping up for our big Berkey week, but we have all of January.
Wow.
You can come on up to Cable in Hayward, Wisconsin. It's a beautiful winter wonderland up there. Ever since we got that great dumping of snow on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I mean, the snow's just clinging to the trees. You drive up there, you put on some Bing Crosby and you enjoy yourself up there, man. I tell you, it's absolutely beautiful.
Very well done. Where does the name Berkey come from? I know Birkenstock, like how do you get to Birkebeiner and then Berkey?
So this race is really steeped in a lot of history and lore, not just the past 50 years that we've been doing it here, but this act, the word Birkebeiner, is Norwegian for birch legger. And so this dates all the way back to 1206. Let me take you to Norway, 1206. There's a civil war. There's a prince by the name of Prince Håkon, and his father, King Edward, was murdered. And so the countries that's at war, and this prince is the last surviving lineage of the royal family. So two warriors, Birkebeiner warriors, and they were birch. And again, this was the poorer faction of the two civil classes, and they couldn't afford like real armor. So they wore birch leggings. So you can imagine birch bark, birch leggings. So they literally wore birch bark on their legs. That's where the word Birkebeiner, birch legger, comes from.
Okay.
So these two warriors skied this Prince Håkon to safety, like skied him away from the battle and kept the lineage going. And in Norwegian history and lore, he was one of the greatest kings that Norway's ever had. And so there's a whole history of it. And actually, the Birky, the American Birkebeiner, there are Birkebeiner races all over the country, over the world. Sorry, there's a Canadian Birkebeiner. There's the Ingen Marathon in Sweden. There's 19 races that the Birky is actually a part of a series that people do. They'll go all over the world and they'll do these races all over the world. So they all kind of reenact this rescuing of this prince. One of the races actually in Norway, the skiers actually have to ski with, I think it's 4 pounds, maybe 5 pounds. I could check myself there. They have to ski with a 4 or 5 pound sack that represents the baby. So they actually have to ski with weight.
What?
So anyway, so there's a whole history. We could go down a rabbit hole. It's for a whole nother episode. But yeah, there's a lot of unique history behind this race.
Sean Connolly is my guest. He is the marketing and communications director for Birkebeiner, the Birkebeiner Ski Foundation. So that's incredible. If you broke that out during your job interview, that's a slam dunk. The guy actually knows what it means. We got to hire him. What you've been all over the state. You talked very articulately about some of the amazing activities Wisconsin has to offer. A big city NFL team in a small town, the biggest music festival, all these great things we have. Where is your favorite spot in our state to hang out in the summer and where in the winter?
Great questions. Great questions. Great questions. In the summer, it's hard to beat a lake, a Northwoods lake. And there's so many.
Totally
actually
agree.
Not to like, you know, keep plugging the Hayward Cable area, but the Hayward Lakes region is amazing. And they have the world's largest muskie up there. You can find mounted in a little bar. And then they have the giant muskie up there. So, you know, anywhere in the state, you can find a lake that you can just get out on, and actually an amazing spot where you can go and pull off the lake and get to that lakeside bar. You know, there's that is so much fun. Actually, just go up to Chute Pond just north of here, outside a mountain in Suring. There's some Everbreeze Resort, shout out there. My Uncle Danny plays there pretty regularly with the upright bass, and it's a great place to like take the pontoon out, find a sandbar, cool off, and then pull over to the lakeside bar. I mean, that's hard to beat.
Dude, so I lived in Southern California for years. Love the ocean.
Yeah.
But to me, I agree with you. Nothing beats going to my grandma's cottage in the Three Lakes area.
Yeah.
And finding a supper club at night. Like, you've been in the lake all day, 100%. You're sunburnt, then you go and you get if you're a kid, a Coke and some fish or something, or if you're an adult, an old fashioned. Like, I totally agree with you that the Northwoods in the summer, you just can't beat it. We've got about a minute left. Winter. Hayward?
I mean, for skiing,
yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, right now it's a winter wonderland. You got the cross country skiing. And power sports people, the snowmobiling out there is amazing.
Yeah.
The ice fishing out there is amazing. So, I mean, hey, if you're not an active winter sports person, get out there and do some snowmobiling and some ice fishing. But Pete, it sounds like we got to hit up a supper club. I mean, that sounds like our next
winter
adventure
or
together. But either or. I'm telling you.
So you snowmobile it up to the supper club, or you pontoon boat it to the supper club?
Exactly.
I'd probably go pontoon boat.
Come
but,
on up.
You know,
yeah.
For the company, I would climb on a snowmobile and probably break it somehow. But Sean, this has been very fun. Thank you so much for coming
you
in. Man.
Yeah,
you
pleasure.
Too. We'll do it again. And good luck with the Birkebeiner 500. It sounds like a maniac event. Conrad will be out there, I'm sure. Christine and Slinger says, Stand By Me, based on a short story by Stephen King called The Body. Both book and movie are great. However, I loved all Rob's films and admire him. She's talking about, of course, the late, great Rob Reiner. We are coming back, and we're going to read some of your texts, and then we're going to welcome author Laura Enright to the show. After the news, it's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. You know, it just shows my dedication, Conrad, I think, to the audience. and to my Wisconsin brethren and those who love winter, because I don't, that I'm willing to have a guy like Sean on who spoke so passionately about winter. You hate winter as much as I do.
I started hating it as soon as I gave up snowboarding.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll do it. Seriously. I mean, yeah. You have to do something to get yourself through it. That's why exactly, I seriously have talked to my wife, like, why don't we cross-country ski or do something just to, you got to embrace it to a degree, I think. So I think I need to surround myself with more people like Sean.
You know, I think the biggest thing I do in the winter is take my trash out.
Listen, you got to, I hope you stretch out first because as we all know,
yeah.
Our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite Rob Reiner film? We were trying to put a positive spin on a horrible tragedy from last night, but his legacy is incredible and the work he's left behind. And I'm fascinated by people that contributed so much to humanity and brought so much joy that had to be our question of the night. And Mark from Prairie du Sac says, Eric from Madison says, A Few Good Men is a great movie. Totally agree, Eric. That's one of those movies I cannot turn off when I am flipping around the dial. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, My outside lighting consists of one laser light projector that has dancing points of green and red lights. Those are kind of cool. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
So it kind of like, yeah. You got all these like mm-hmm. red and green dots in the trees. I love that.
Saves you some time too of putting actual lights up.
I have a feeling they made it for people like me and Mark. Tom from New Berlin says, as Mike in All in the Family, his character was the same throughout his life. Blessed person will be lost, not forgotten. Totally agree, Tom. He played Michael Stivic, and his back and forth with Archie Bunker is so classic and is still hilarious today. Such a great show. Barb from Waukesha in the 262 says, I'll have what she's having when Harry met Sally. Another film I kind of forgot that Rob Reiner directed. Excellent. Thank you, Barb. Mark from Prairie du Sac again says, and the great connection between the grandson played by Freddie Savage. I love that he called him Freddie Savage. I was in a meeting one time and a producer referred to Sandra Bullock as, we'll call Sandy Bullock to do it. It's like, you call her Sandy? Like Fred Savage. Mark just said Freddie Savage. And the storyteller, Grandfather Peter Falk. That's, of course, the Princess Bride. Christine from Slinger in the 414 says, Stand By Me, based on a short story. Oh, I read this, didn't I? Are we caught up on text? No way am I already caught up.
We got some more in your hand.
I do. I have the social media text. Monica from Mount Horeb in the 608 says, Stand By Me. Fitting because it's narrated as a remembrance after his friend was murdered, which you don't find out until the end. And that was such a great twist. I remember the first time I saw that. Such a great, just a great angle. Turning to social media, Danny Wheels, we read that one. Tony Diamond, my pal Tony Diamond says, For me, it's a toss-up between When Harry Met Sally, Spinal Tap, Misery, and Stand By Me. Oh, and A Few Good Men is pretty epic. Yeah, you could literally, I mean, every movie the guy did was just solid work. American President was good. Scott Tom says, Stand By Me, no doubt about it. It made me again like adaptations of Stephen King's works. May the Reiners rest easy. Well said, Scott. So I had so much to talk about, Con. What else do you want to say? Can we get Mike on the show? We should talk Bears-Packers. I know Packer fans are probably not thrilled with that game being this week, but it is still, it's Bears-Packers, part two.
Just, you know, giving Caleb Williams more time in the pocket is a little tough for Packers. You know,
Wayne Larrivee, the guy is, here's what I love about Wayne Larrivee. He was the Chicago Bears play-by-play guy years ago. And I think he did Bulls games too. He was so good. And when he came to Green Bay, I was like, what's he going to Green Bay for? Well, I didn't know that was his lifelong favorite team. So when he took the Packer gig, he was taking the job he's always wanted. But he's such a pro. Like, I love that in his play-by-play, you can hear him cheer for the Packers. Because he'll end something like, and they go, and he's down just short. Like, he's cheering. But he's also being, you know, objective and a great play-by-play guy. And he gave Caleb Williams, he gave Bo Nix a big compliment. And he said, this kid is great. Caleb Williams will be great, but he's not as good as Bo Nix. Caleb is in his first year with a decent coach, so it'll be interesting. That quarterback class, Conrad, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Drake May, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, it's one of the best.
Jackson Dart, too, maybe? Like,
yeah, no. Jackson Dart actually was a year later.
A year later? Okay.
Yeah, but no, it's a fantastic class. I mean, Drake May is playing out of his mind, too.
Wow. Who'd have thought?
The Patriots are back to the
Patriots. They're are
11
already
and
back.
Three. It's just.
Yeah, they can suck it. can I say that on the radio?
I think so.
I'm not saying what.
If
I'm
referring
just saying,
to the Patriots, yes.
Yeah. Also, in the world of entertainment, Dick Van Dyke turned 100 over the weekend. Very cool. And the guy, and here's what I love about Dick Van Dyke. He says, it's not enough. I want more. He wants more life and more time. Folks, if you have not seen the Chris Martin, Dick Van Dyke discussion on YouTube where they sing together, and Dick Van Dyke is kind of talking about his life. They had this big party for him, apparently, over the weekend on December 13th, which was his birthday. They sang songs, all this great stuff. He said, I feel really good for 100. Sometimes I have more energy than others, but I never wake up in a bad mood. Happiness is a choice. And I think a lot of these people that live to be 100 years old, now he's had an incredible life. He's had success on stage, screen, radio, everything. But that's an attitude. I'm not saying it's going to get you to 100, but pretty cool stuff. All right, we are going to break for the news, and you'll get a weather update, folks. Maybe some sports, maybe some Hollywood Beats, Con. Hollywood
maybe.
News.
Yeah.
Coming by way of Peachwama. And then Laura Enright, author Laura Enright, one of my favorite guests, will be here after the news. We're going to talk to her about a new book she's working on, and we might even delve a little bit into the mob, which is always fun for me to talk about. It's Peachwama and Nightlight. We are coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah. Give me a piece of my daddy never had. Welcome back. It is Monday, folks, and it is great to have you here. I wait all weekend so I can be back in this chair talking about really fun stuff, whether it's happening in our state, like the Birkebeiner. Would you ever do something like that, Con?
You know, actually, when I was in eighth grade, we did a cross-country skiing unit in gym. And that's the last time I did it.
But you were really good at it. Your coach
it
told
great.
You
yeah.
showed a lot of promise.
Yes. I got an A+.
All right. That's right up there with snowshoeing. All right. So this is exciting, folks. I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She is one of my favorite authors, mostly because she writes about stuff that I find absolutely fascinating. And we'll talk about some of her books tonight. But tonight, specifically, she's here to tell us about a new project she's working on. And she joins us tonight from Chicago over the stream, Laura Enright. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, it's great. It's great to have you here. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good. I love the snow, by the way. I love winter.
Do you really? Even
I
in
do.
Where in Chicago do you live? Because Chicago can be a real pain in the winter.
I live like on the north, like near O'Hare.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I don't like summer. I'm not very good with the heat.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
Yeah,
do you do any outdoor? Yeah. Do you do outdoor winter sports, Laura?
I shovel. last week. No.
That's a great
no, not
workout.
Much, not much, not much. But I do. I don't know what it is. I know people come by me and say, "Oh, it's so cold," and I'm, you know, I have to bite my tongue, and I know they think I'm crazy, but it doesn't bother me.
Oh, that's great. Do you have? Before we get into some of your books, I have to ask you: Were you a Rob Reiner fan?
Oh yeah, he was great.
Absolutely,
this was horrible. I can't believe this.
Just it's on some level. Like, I thought the worst on this immediately. I thought, oh, it might be a political thing because he was very political, or it might be a terrible break-in. As horrible as this might sound, when you hear it's someone close to people, are you kind of almost relieved? Like, okay, this isn't just totally random. The kid had serious problems, if in fact it turns out to be his son, which I believe that's who they think it is. But it was, it's a tragedy either way, but it's a tragedy that who it was as well. It's just, it's oh, yeah. just awful.
You know, it's such a sad family drama that that was what, you know, cause I think I heard that it was his, it could have been his son before I saw, actually read the information and stuff.
Right.
And like, if that's the case, it's such a, tragedy, you know, like, because if it is for the reason it was, there was no helping.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounded like it. And I feel for the kid as well, because it's like, you know, I've known people who have been lost like that. So
it's
I have them in my family.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a tragedy either way. I took a little bit of comfort in that it's just not some random thing that people, I know people do those things. And they mm-hmm. seem like they're happening more and more, like the violence, whether it's political or you just don't like someone or someone cuts you off on the road. Anyway, there's no way around it. It's a terrible thing. But do you have, we're trying to put a positive spin on it tonight and talk about, you know, this incredible legacy that this guy who was this great artist left behind. And he was a Nepo baby. Like, his dad was Carl mm-hmm. Reiner. Like, talk about filling shoes. You could argue he filled them and then some. Do you have a favorite, Rob Reiner film?
It would probably have to be Spinal Tap.
Nice.
This is Spinal Tap. I didn't get a chance to see the other one. I have to still see that.
I haven't either. Yeah.
That was just such, you know, so much genius there.
Yeah.
You know, I loved, and I liked The Princess Bride too. I thought that was okay. But that was probably, you know, this is Spinal Tap is probably my favorite. And such a, I mean, it was ahead of its time, really.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
With the mockumentary. Yeah, so.
You know, there's another great, I always say the movie Real Life by Albert Brooks. I don't know if you've ever mm-hmm. seen that, but that was kind of ahead of its time too with reality TV.
Yeah.
And they were they were best friends, Albert Brooks and Rob Reiner. You could obviously see the sensibilities. There's a great story that I've heard Rob Reiner talk about on talk shows. And he said, or maybe it was Carl Reiner who said, the funniest person I've ever seen was Albert Einstein. And that was Albert Brooks's real name. And Albert Brooks would come over to the Reiner's house as a 12-year-old mm-hmm. and crack up Carl Reiner, a comedy legend. So, it's funny that, they were both part of mockumentaries that were.
Well, you know, that interaction between Carol O'Connor and Rob Reiner when they were on, it was so well done. Because either way, it could have been crazy. It could have really been a caricature.
Yeah.
It was so well done. And Rob Reiner portrayed a guy who was so well-intentioned, but didn't always hit the mark, sort of,
right.
You know? So, that was really groundbreaking too.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said. Let's get to your new book you're working on. I love the mm-hmm. things you write about, Laura.
Oh, thanks.
You've written about a movie with, your Meet the Parents story, which involves my sometime writing partner, Greg Liana. Love that. You've written about vampires and you've written about the mob. And mm-hmm. I've always had a fascination with the mafia. But tell us about this new book about a loan shark, or maybe he wasn't a loan shark, that you're working mm-hmm. on right now.
Well, this is, and it's been a work in progress for quite some time. Several years ago, I met a man who I met at the library. We got together, we met in a room, we talked. He told me this story about his dad, who was a really big wheeler dealer in Chicago, a big businessman, doing really good. And he was Italian. I'm going to call, you know, I'm just going to go by his first name right now. Sam, he was Italian. And a lot of Italians did have connections to the mob, even if it was just friendship-wise, because they grew up in the neighborhoods. You know? But he had nothing to do with the mob as far as, you know, business for them. So, but unfortunately, he kind of got mixed up into something. And the next thing you know, he's being accused of being a loan shark for the outfit in the 1960s. And this was around the time that Bobby Kennedy was doing
conventions,
the mobster, the hearings
going after the gangster. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. And it was a big thing. And the government was really trying to get after the organized crime. And so I think they were just it was just a massive push. And I think he just got embroiled in this whole thing at the wrong time. So it really affected his family poorly. And it's like, you know, he lost his, nobody wanted to do business with him. He had started a bank with a consortium of people, a savings and loan. That went south. They started investigating that. He could never get that spark back up after this. And he was not, he was never found guilty of being a the loan shark. I forget what it was he was found guilty of, but he served 3 months of it. But it was, he was like really kind of questionable. But after, he still couldn't, it affected his career so badly. He could never get back that, you know, he was always on the run trying to get the next score. Yeah. And if the gentleman that I spoke to, who I now call my friend, Bob, he was a young guy at the time. He was entering college. And it really affected him. It sent him into a psychotic break, sort of, the whole thing. Because the FBI was, they were tailing them. They tailed, it was him, his sister, his mother, and his father. They were tailing him on dates. They were tailing him around the town, tailing his father. You know, every time they opened the paper in Chicago, there was this information, you know, there was this article about his dad, and it really worked on him.
I think anytime you hear something like that, like someone's wrongfully accused, and it does happen, but your first instinct, your first instinct is kind of to say, come on, you know, but like, how does he have any idea how his father got like kind of suspected of that?
Oh yeah. There's a definite story there. His father, there were three, brothers who had a, you know, they would buy buildings and fix them up. And, you know, this is back in the 60s. And so they wanted to get at this hotel. And they didn't have enough money for them. Now, they had a bad reputation as far as paying back money as it was. So there was another man by the name of Sandor. And he introduced the brothers to Sam. And Sam, they were asking him, because he did know people in the mob. He was friends with people in the mob.
Right.
They were asking him to help them get a loan from the mob. And he told them, don't do it. This is nothing but trouble. You're never going to be able to pay him back.
Yeah.
It's quagmire. And they were insistent. He refused to do it, but Sandor actually did it. And so when inevitably they did get in trouble and they did get behind in the payments and the guys were beating them up and such, they went to Sam for help and said, can you talk to your friends? Can you do something about this? And Sam did at one point talk to the, I forget who it was. I think it was Accardo, actually, who was in charge at that time.
Oh, wow.
And said, can you just give him a break, you know? And that worked for a little while, but they messed up again. And so then that's when they went to the feds to try to save their own lives. And then they embroiled Sam into this, basically lying him into the whole story. As you know, he was there. He was involved because of them, but he wasn't like, beating them up or, he had nothing to do with that loan portion of it.
Okay.
But they had the narrative they wove for the FBI was that he was more involved than he was. And so then that's when the investigation began.
That's author Laura Enright talking to us about her new book. Does it have a title yet?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay.
No.
How long does it take to write a book like that? When you have so much research,
this took a long time. I did finish the reason I'm saying it's not ready yet is because I'm hoping it's going to be out next week. Not next week. Hey, how about that?
You need a title
next year. But this was almost a decade in the making because there were certain things came up in life that kind of throw you off.
Yeah.
But then also too, the research was something. I mean, I'm researching the outfit. I'm researching this case. I'm looking through, through newspaper articles, old newspaper articles and such. And it took what? And then you have to get everything. And not only that, I'm also the Bob is telling me all about his dad's business experience and stuff, and his little things and things like that. And I have to gather all this together and put it in. It's kind of like with the Meet the Parents story. You have to gather all that stuff and put it into a digestible narrative.
That's got to be
It was fascinating, though.
Your subject, this was his father. Mm-hmm. Does he fear for his life at all coming forward to tell a story whenever the mob is involved? It's got to be a little nerve-wracking.
Well, you know, and that's one reason I wanted to, you know, I'm only using like first names right now. First of all, we have to go through a lawyer and see how, you know, let the lawyer read it, see if there's anything there. This happened in the 60s. It's now 2026. My hope is, you know, most of these guys who were involved are gone.
Yeah.
So my hope is there isn't a problem with that as far as that's concerned. And, you know, I wanted to make sure, that's why I wanted to really make sure I got all the stories from the newspapers and things like that, because I wanted proof of what was going on. But yeah, no, I mean, there's a little, he was more worried. I think he was more concerned when he was younger.
Yeah, and, right.
Know, at one point, you know, his dad had a couple choices, either sing for the feds or be killed by the mob or something like that, you know, something like it. And he didn't, you know, the mob didn't kill him, but he also didn't sing for the feds, but that was always on their mind. Either he was going to be arrested by the feds or the mob was going to kill him as a preemptive strike. So let's
pick up right there after this very short break. And if you do use a ghost writer name, don't, just make sure it's not Schwabba, Laura. Okay. So we are coming right back with our guest.
I'm going to have to change the whole document.
Author Laura Enright. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We're coming back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this beautiful, chilly, I think we'll say, Monday night here in downtown Green Bay as we broadcast statewide and parts beyond over the stream and the app. My guest currently is author Laura Enright, who is working on a book about a man wrongfully accused of being a loan shark for the Chicago Outfit. Laura, so what most of my mob knowledge is from movies. I'll be honest. I've never been in the mob. I've never done a hit. I've never been a gangster. I've applied, but they didn't want me. What exactly does a loan shark do? I know that based on what I've seen in movies, books, they give people loans that the bank won't accept, correct?
Yeah, they basically, you know, and this was big during the 60s. We didn't, you know, in some respects, the credit card companies are kind of legal loan sharks now.
No kidding.
You know, it's like, yeah, it's become such an industry, but back in the 60s, it wasn't, getting credit wasn't that easy to do. So, like, for example, with these brothers, they didn't have the, they had already screwed up their credit and they didn't have the, you know, backing to go to a bank and say, hey, yeah, trust us. So they go into the loan shark. Loan shark loans them a certain amount of money. But the thing with the loan shark is you don't have a month to pay it off. Let's say you have a week before they start charging, you know, they're charging interest and the interest they charge is insane. And so let's say you borrowed $100. By the end of the month, you might owe $1,000, that sort of thing. And if you don't, you know, eventually what a lot of people were paying off was just the interest as opposed to the principal. And it's almost like a slavery in a way. They're always stuck in that.
Wow.
So that's, you know, that's basically what it is. And the mob gives the loan shark money and then the loan shark gives it to the people and then collects the interest. The mob takes their take, that sort of thing. So yeah, it's
crazy.
It's kind of a really sick practice.
I feel sometimes that's how insurance companies are. It's like you pay us every month, and if something happens,
maybe we'll cover it.
It's like, wait a minute, it's no different.
You didn't
than
need
the
that leg.
Yeah, right. So how is this different? Writing a book like this, you've also written a book called "The Meet the Parents" story. Telling the story of your friend and mine, Greg Liana's, dealing with the studio and how his little independent film became this huge grossing live action film. That took a lot of research on your part, too, and you had Greg as a resource. But how is it different writing a book like this about this, well, non-loan shark, I guess, and a book like about Meet the Parents and the movie making process?
Yeah, the research was a little easier to do because the so many of the people were still around.
Yeah.
And you know, it was a little easier to access this. This is like, my math is bad, but however long it would be from 26 to 1964, yeah. That's a long time. And a lot of these people are gone. And that, you know, I could question, not that I'd be questioning
right.
some mob or anything, but, and then too, you go by a lot of newspaper articles, and some of that wasn't always, there was a lot of yellow journalism still going on, you know?
Right.
And so you have to kind of look at it with a jaundiced eye. But yeah, it was, it was kind of fun. You know, it's kind of like when I wrote Chicago's Most Wanted, and there's a lot of history in that as well. It's not just about the mob. It has a book, a chapter on gangsters, but it's got all things about Chicago. And even researching the fire, for example, you know, I had to go back through these archives from the 1800s to get an idea of what was going on. So it's kind of like a little mystery. Putting That's together a little mystery. And my thing was, and I want to figure out, wait, Sam was not an angel, and he did know a lot of, you know, the mobsters and all that. He was a good guy. He was a stand-up guy, but he wasn't perfect. And I don't want it to seem like, I do think he got railroaded, but I also think maybe he could have done things different to avoid that sort of thing. So I'm trying to present that sort of aspect to it too.
It's funny. Well, I grew up on the Northwest side until I moved up to Northern Wisconsin, but in the city, not too far from you, the Portage Park, Jefferson Park
area.
Oh
yeah, that's not far at all.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, you know, there was some it was a lot of cops' kids and they could mm-hmm. be pretty tough. And then you had some kids where their dad, you didn't really know what he did. They got a Corvette and the guy never worked. So I always felt like when I got older, I'm like, they were probably mob people because they didn't talk about mm-hmm. it and you don't know where the money came from. But I never had any mm-hmm. proof. But, you know, when you're like a teenager and you move to Wisconsin, you want to tell all your friends, yeah, there's a lot of people in my neighborhood that were in the mob.
But it could be. I mean, you know, Chicago is made of neighborhoods, and
for sure.
you have some of the Italian neighborhoods, and the Italians did make a go of the mob, and there was reasons for that. You know, back when they came to America in the late 1800s, there wasn't a lot of opportunities for them.
Right.
And unfortunately, one of the opportunities, you know, you had Prohibition and all. We already had mobs, not mobs, but kind of, you know, underground work in Chicago to begin. It just needed somebody to coalesce that whole thing, and Prohibition was the perfect thing for that. It afforded them a lot of money, and they were able to develop and actually become very sophisticated in a lot of ways.
Laura, next time you're here, I would love to mm-hmm. talk to you about that book, Chicago's Most Wanted. It's an older title, but you talk about these great criminals. And mm-hmm. like I said before, and I'll say it again, I love what you write about. You got vampires, movies, the mob. It's so great, and it must be fun to be you. But I cannot thank you enough for your thank you for your time tonight. Keep us posted on this book, and then let's find another time when we can come back and talk Most Wanted. That would be fun.
Definitely.
All right. Okay. Have a great night. Thanks so much, Laura.
Pete.
Anytime. That's Laura Enright. Check out her work. You could just Google her. She's on Amazon. All these great books, especially about the making of Meet the Parents and what Greg Liana, the writer and my sometime writing partner, had to go through. Very fascinating stuff. Are you telling me to wrap it up, Con?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you took a powder. I didn't think you were still here. I'm glad you are.
Well, I did.
We are coming back for Act 3. We're going to talk some theater. I'm going to read your text. That's coming up next after the news. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.